dezelfde manier. Check one.
We continue our readings this afternoon in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, the first 8 verses, beginning at verse 1. When the 7th month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the 7th month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, at his right hand, stood Mathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah. And at his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Josabad, Hannah, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Also from Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. And finally, in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. So far.
Give the introduction to both studies 3 and 4. I hope we're still awake after having such a good meal. We notice in chapter 8 the importance of the Word of God. We already spoke much about it, but notice here the book is repeated so many times to bring the book and to open the book and to read the book. What book was that? Was, of course, the book of Moses. It was the law of Moses. The same old book. You know, sometimes we want something new. But no, it's the same old book. And no new revelations, but just to go to what was God's precepts and his commandments given to Israel. And notice the word understand mentioned several times in verse 7. Cause the people to understand. And verse 8. Cause them to understand the reading. Verse 12, we didn't read that. They had understood the words that were declared. So it's not just reading, but we have to understand what we're reading. I remember the eunuch going from Jerusalem back to his country, Ethiopia, I believe. And then Philip met him and asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "How can I if no one will guide me?" So understanding the word of God. King Solomon, he prayed to God to give him understanding. It's a verse in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." So, understanding the word of God. Of course, this comes with prayer, reverence, as it was mentioned, and also how they lifted up and bowed their heads. So we don't read the word of God as we read any book, but we have to come with reverence and with understanding. Notice also Ezra. He's mentioned many times, almost in every verse up to verse 8. Ezra the scribe. He is a priest. He is a scribe. And if you go to Ezra chapter 7, we know the reason why he was important. In chapter 7 and verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." Thank God for our teachers and those who can expound on the word of God. But he had prepared his heart. We spoke a lot about the heart this morning. And someone said, the heart of the matter is the condition of the heart. He had his heart set. In King James, it says, prepared his heart. In the JND, he directed his heart. the importance of the heart. We heard this morning about the mind. The mind, and now it's the heart and the understanding of the Word of God. And finally, the portion we haven't read is about the joy of the Lord is your strength. This morning, we heard about Judah, whose name is Praise. He had no strength because the strength of the bearers, this is in chapter 4, he said the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed and there is much rubbish. He was actually not looking to the Lord. He didn't have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And finally, I just want to mention the three feasts of Jehovah. Two of them are mentioned here on the seventh month. The first one was the trumpet in verse 1. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is on the 15th of the seventh month. And in between these two feasts, he's supposed to have another feast. This is the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement, they would weep and afflict their hearts. So, but this is what it was mentioned here. Some of them did weep. And, but then they were told not to weep. In verse 10, go your way, eat and the fat, and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. And so on. And you probably will hear more about that. So may the Lord help us to acknowledge this and make His word very important in our life.
It's interesting to see that the water gate here in verse 1 did not need repair. You study chapter 3, of course, we cannot do that today, but that is a very interesting chapter that would take another conference. But that there we don't see, the gate is mentioned, but there is not the need of repair. And that's very striking, because the water gate really refers to the Word of God, what it does in power to cleanse, to provide, to refresh. And that is always intact. It doesn't need any repair. I'll compare it with the seed in Luke's gospel. When you study Matthew 13 and also Mark 4, you see that the seed that was sown, it produced fruit. In Matthew, it was 100 and then 60 and 40, this decline. In Mark, this progress, it starts low and it ends high. But when you see the seed in Luke's gospel, it is the Word of God. And it is always 100%. And so this is what you find here with the water gate. It didn't need repair. It is always functioning. Of course, we have the responsibility to let the Word do its work. That's our side. The second point I'd like to make is in connection with Ezra. Our brother mentioned already the importance of Ezra and why they are together. Ezra is the priest, so he cares for God's interests. And you find it especially in his book. But here in Nehemiah, it really affects everyday life. Nehemiah is not a priest. He's a governor. And he's a builder. And there we see another aspect. And the two go together. And that's so beautiful that we see them here together. Also in chapter 12, you see them walking together with the crowds, celebrating the dedication of the wall. They belong together. And so it is the word of God. When you read Leviticus, its connection is worship. But we also need a man like Nehemiah. We need Proverbs for everyday living. The two go together. So Ezra cannot be separated from Nehemiah. Nehemiah cannot be separated from Ezra. We need them both. So may the Lord help us to see this perspective so that we have a balance in our lives.
Two things stand out to me in this chapter in connection with the subject of revival. That is the sovereignty of the Lord in revival. And the other thing is the centrality of the Word of God in revival. And when I said that the sovereignty of God, we see, and a brother has mentioned this, that it was on the Feast of Trumpets that they stood to read the Word of God. That it was God's timing. You know, everything in Israel worked according to times and seasons like clockwork. And so it's no coincidence that they are here, gathered at the Feast of Trumpets, which was calling the people together, and now the Word of God is opened. But if we think of the history of the church, we think, for example, in the Reformation period, which really was the initiation of the revival. The revival didn't start in the 1800s, it started in the 1500s. And it was first and foremost a recovery of the Word of God. You know, up until that point, it was the average Christian, the everyday Christian, one, was not allowed to read the Bible. Two, even if he could read the Bible, it wasn't available. Largely, the printing press had not yet been invented. And so any copies of the Word of God that existed were handwritten, passed around. And if they didn't get caught passing it around and reading it, otherwise they would have suffered persecution by the official church. That was the state of things. But just as God sovereignly began to work in the hearts of Christians to awaken them, to look to seek him as to the way of salvation. We think of Martin Luther and so on. A man in Germany invented a machine called the printing press. And that revolutionized, just like as much as our world has been revolutionized by the electronic changes, their world was revolutionized by the printing. And now, as Christians began to free themselves from earthly priesthood that forbade them to read the Word of God, at the same time God providentially allowed the invention of a machine that could produce multiple copies of the Word of God. So here we see the sovereignty of God. It was His time. God always has His time. And then we see here too, and it's been mentioned, when they stand by the water gate, it says this, Ezra the scribe says, to bring the book of the law of Moses. Bring the book. Every revival, every reformation in the Church of God down through history, the Word of God has been front and center. There's been no revival without the Word of God being front and center. And all the truths that we enjoy on the other end of the Reformation that were recovered some 200 years ago, truths related to the assembly, the assurance of the believer, the coming of the Lord Jesus, all these, the presence of the Holy Spirit on earth indwelling the believer, all these wonderful things we hold. Where did it come from? It came from the Word of God. Christ and the Word of God was central. Just turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. You have to bear with me a little, brother, because I got these... what do they call them? Progressives. I'm trying to learn how to, you know. Anyway. So we have 2 Chronicles chapter 34 on the days of Josiah, which also was a great revival. But how he prepared his heart to seek God, but then what happens? We find in verse 14, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And in verse 18, and Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. He apparently didn't even know what it was. It's just a book. But we find here that it was the book of the law of the Lord, the law of Moses. You know, most of the Bible hadn't been written, but the law of Moses was there, and perhaps some of the Psalms and so on. But it shows that the book of the law of the Lord was buried in the rubble of the temple, underneath the idols that had built up over the years there. Josiah cleared the temple. So we see that recovery was connected with the Word of God. And so, always is. Therefore, encourage our hearts to read the Word of God. And as brethren go through this passage, they'll see the importance of the making the Word of God to be understood. But the Bible is understandable. They speak of the perspicuity of the Scripture, that it's clear. It's clear. There may be hard parts, but it's clear. So may the Lord encourage us as we continue on, as we look at the importance of the Word of God.
Here we find Jerusalem One Day Conference. They had this conference since the morning. And I want to start just some points about reading the Word of God. The first thing he said, it is in the morning, to give it the best time, the best priority. And then in verse 3 also, to those who could understand. It's very important to understand what we read. And then in the same verse, attentive, with all their heart, were listening to what the Lord wanted them to hear. Now, we can find that in verse 3, they were from the morning until the midday. It's about from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., 6 hours. And then we read about it in verse 5, that at the end of the verse, all the people stood up. They were standing up for about 6 hours. In our days, a brother will call him and he said, the last verse while standing. And maybe some will stand and some will not. But they were standing for 6 hours, listening attentively to what the Lord wanted to tell them. Brother Alfred brought Ezra and Nehemiah before us, and they want to make a comparison between them in application for today. Ezra, if we want to apply for today, his gift was a teacher of the word. But Nehemiah was a bishop or overseer. He was walking among the people. He was very close to them to see what their needs. And which one is more important, as we understood? Both of them are very important. In Ezra, the book of Ezra, focusing about the altar and about the house. And in Nehemiah, it focuses about the wall and about the gates. In Ezra, we can find the discernment and the wisdom. In Nehemiah, we can find the activeness and the dedication. In Ezra, he was occupied from within the house, inside, the worship. In Nehemiah, he was occupied with the witness, outside, and the separation, not isolation. I just want to conclude with the one verse in Psalm 119 and verse 97 about how these people were for the word of God. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day.
I think it's important to see the two different phrases that's mentioned about Ezra. In verse 1, it says, Ezra the scribe. Ezra the scribe. In, I think it's verse 2, is it? It says, Ezra the priest. And he was both. But we see two facets or two sides of this man Ezra. The one, we see a man who's very concerned with the crossing of the T's and the dotting of the I's, as it were. He's a scribe. And so he's very concerned with accuracy. He's very concerned with what does the scripture teach. But then we see a priest. He's very concerned with ministering that to the needs of the people. And I think both are needed among us today. We need both. We need those that teach, and may we be both. Those that teach and rightly divide the word of God, the word of truth, but also at the same time applying it to the hearts of those that are listening. And so both are needed. And this word understanding, we mentioned that it's mentioned several times. It's actually mentioned 6 times in this chapter. And it's a very important word. It has the idea of weaving together. And why that is important is because when you weave something together, you strengthen it. And so it would remind us that our strength as believers today, our strength is found in the Word of God. And it's as the Word of God is weaved in our lives, and we are able then to rightly divide the Word of truth and to apply it in our lives, and we weave it into our lives, then it strengthens us. And this is what happens in this chapter. One other thing that we see in this chapter is there are 26 men mentioned in this chapter in verse 4 and verse 7. In verse 4, there's 13. In verse 7, there's 13 again. 26 different men alongside Ezra. And why is that important? And just to mention this, we're not in this alone. We're not in this alone. And Ezra, as a preacher of the word, you might say, as the scribe, as the priest, he stands before the people and he preaches the word of God. And then these men come alongside and they help each one to understand the word of God. And we'll get to that in verse 8. But they help others. And so we might see something here. We might see something that's very important among the people of God today. If I could just make this by application. There is the public preaching of the Word of God. We find in this chapter that Ezra preached from a pulpit. He preached from a platform. And that is very important today, that we be under the sound of the Word, that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves, that when the Word of God is preached, that we're there. And it's very important. But also, and we would call that the airborne mission. We would call that air warfare, right? Where we're preaching and it's air warfare. But then there's the ground warfare, if you will. And what do we mean by that? The small groups. We find here that they came alongside, and how important it is to have the Word of God opened in our homes. How important it is, and if I could just make an application here for us, home Bible studies is a great tool to be used among the people of God, to help teach the Word of God, to help fortify that which was said publicly, perhaps in the Sunday night ministry meeting, then to be able to fortify that, getting one another's homes and open the Word together and rightly divide the Word of truth together. How important this is. So we have the airborne warfare and we have the ground warfare, and both are needed today. And we see Ezra, he preached from the platform, but then we see others came alongside and didn't blow a different trumpet. They blew the same trumpet. And I would like to encourage us that we blow the same trumpet together, that we have the same message together. And this is so important. And so we see this in Ezra. We see the importance of the word understanding, weaving it together in our lives, to strengthen us, to help fortify us, and then each one involved. Ezra was not alone in preaching the word. He had 26 other brothers that were involved in this ministry.
Just one thought from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And we want to stress the importance of understanding the Word of God. We saw in some of the earlier chapters the enemies that rose up against Nehemiah. But in Matthew 13, verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. The importance of understanding the Word of God. The enemy is not going to wait until you get home. There's a battle that's going on even presently. You are hearing the Word of God, and beloved saints, we just want that if you don't understand, say, look, I don't understand. And many a times we are guilty of sharing things that the saints really don't understand. We are enjoying certain things, but we are not able to convey it to the saints so that they understand it. And that's all the enemy is looking for. He's looking for an opening where he can come and snatch that from the hearts of God's people to cause them to go astray. And this is a tremendous lesson for us. As we communicate God's word to his people, brethren, that we may share it in such a way, as some of our older brethren would say, we are not all giraffes. Put it on a level where everyone can enjoy it, but most of all, that they can understand it. And it will help us tremendously, because the enemy is waiting to snatch which is being sown from the hearts of God's people.
We've heard brethren mention trumpets, blowing of the trumpets, and the need for us is to have discernment. What is the proper or the right portion applicable for the situation? And tied in with that is the fact of rightly dividing the word, even rightly understanding the word, important. Now, the children of Israel were given direction. Reference was made to them. You take Numbers 10. In the 11th verse, if you turn to it, in Numbers 10, in verse 11, I'll read first. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness, etc. The word of God, the time had come. They were camped around Mount Sinai. They were there about a year. In that time, when the law was given, the tabernacle set up, in all of its details given, Leviticus, the whole order was given to them as to their worship, their service to the Lord. In the end of the book of Exodus, we see that the work was finished, that God had given to Moses, according to the pattern. All was done. And then we find the Shekinah glory comes and enters in the tabernacle there. Now, that's an important factor. When Leviticus begins, then we read God spoke out of the tent of meeting. In Exodus, he spoke from Mount Sinai. In Leviticus, he speaks out of the tent of meeting. He had taken, the Lord had come, he was what he desired to do, dwell and live amongst his people. And then he gives them the order, so beautiful. The moment he speaks out of the tent of meeting, what is the theme of Leviticus? Chapter after chapter brings out the greatness of the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice, his work, what he has accomplished. One chapter after the other. So when they're all set for worship, then the book of Numbers, they're all set in their order. Shows how they're encamped, the different tribes around the tabernacle. Christ is in the midst of his people. And in this chapter, the details there are very interesting and instructive, where each one are placed. And here we read in that second month of the second year, they're ready for the march. But before that is, I want to touch on the first verses there. In verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So that's some of the instruction. I'll come a little more on them. But here now, these silver trumpets. And you know what they were made of? It was of the redemption money that was given, the silver. And so we see here the word of God, and Peter, I believe, links that together in his second chapter of chapter 1, when he speaks about desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted. Tasted what? That the Lord is gracious. Not that the Lord has given us the law. That was first in Sinai. But now, these words are given to us, that we might there learn the greatness of our Lord, how gracious he is, and there that you might grow thereby. But it gives directions here. The silver trumpets, the cost of our redemption. And it is this now, when he gives us his word, we had that in the morning, really, that thought already, that to recognize how valuable, how precious you and I are to the heart of our Lord. This is what he has paid. And he gives us his word that flows from that heart where he gave himself for us. Now he says, look, I bought you. I paid a price. I've delivered you from bondage. Now I desire to have your life. I desire to guide you in your pathway. And I do that through this word, the silver trumpets. So when you have them gathered together, they would hear the trumpets, and they would know we have to gather. But there's another special time. He says also, but in verse 4, but if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, they shall gather themselves to thee. So there's a special message that God had for those who are the leaders, the guides that he would use. They need to be instructed. Ties in with a point that was made of those that surrounded Ezra on each side to give the help they need. And in verse 5, when you blow an alarm, then the camp that lie on the eastern hills shows the different ones that must go ahead and march in their journeys. But then he goes on to say that, and in verse 9, and if ye go to war in your hand, in your land, against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. You shall be remembered. You blow the alarm because the enemy is here. There's danger. So then you sound the trumpets. The word of God is used. Brethren, there's a danger, as we're pointed out in our studies here today. And then, what do? The Lord will hear. He will hear. Saul made a mistake in his day when he, likewise, when there was a victory through Jonathan, and he had made a vow and so on, but anyway, when there was a victory gained and the enemy fled, then Saul blows the trumpet. And he says, Saul, he talks about what Saul had done. All after Saul, he was blowing his own trumpet. So he got it altogether wrong. He was trying to exalt himself. See what I've done. Look at me. Follow me. No, the thing is, the Lord will remember. And then in all of these, just one more point here, just to bring out the three things that are given us. The trumpets first. And then I already mentioned in verse 11, we have the trumpets referring to the word of God. And then the tabernacle is taken up. And the cloud, rather, when the cloud went up, then they started marching forward. That's a picture of really the guidance of the Spirit of God for the people here through the journey. You have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and then in verse 33, and we read, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them in a 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." The presence of the Lord, the ark, the cloud, pillar to guide them through the wilderness, based on the word of God as their direction for every situation that could arise.
We have to have a break now. I have a note here from the Vine Mount, and it reads that for the Young People's Conference, I think it's next week, they would like to have all the registration in by tomorrow. So that is for the Vermont Young People's Conference. Please register by tomorrow. We'll now have a break, and 3 o'clock we'll have our final...